Welcome to the second episode in our CME podcast series on improving the transition process for pediatric IBD patients. During this series, we will highlight challenging cases. The series is sponsored by the Children's Digestive Health and Nutrition Foundation, along with the North American Society for Pediatric Gastroenterology, Hepatology, and Nutrition. A special thank you to CentiCor for providing support. I'm Dr. Tony Otley, Chair of the program and Associate Professor at the Department of Pediatrics at the IWK Health Center in Halifax, Canada. This podcast focuses on medication responsibility, a vital part of adolescent transitioning. Our faculty today is Dr. Lori Fishman, Assistant Professor in Pediatrics at Harvard Medical School and Director of Medical Education in GI at Children's Hospital in Boston, and Beth Goldberg, an Advanced Practice Nurse, Division of Gastroenterology and Nutrition at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia.
We're interested in the transition process for adolescents. We know an early step in this process is taking responsibility for medication, but we also know many patients lack this knowledge. We did a study of adult healthcare providers in the U.S. We found that more than 50% of them said there was a problem with young adult patients knowing their medication. We'd like to find ways to ensure that our patients develop knowledge about this medication and strategies for adhering to the prescribed regimen. But for teens, the topic of medication responsibility can get really tangled with issues of parental involvement and independence. Let's take an example. I have a patient, Mary, we'll call her, who's a 14-year-old with Crohn's, who's on a salicylate and an immunosuppressive medication. She's also on iron, calcium, and vitamin D. Every time Mary and her mother come into the office, there's a heated debate about whether Mary takes her medicine. Her mother claims she leaves the medicine out for Mary, but unless she hounds her constantly, Mary won't take the pills. And Mary claims her mother doesn't even give her a chance, and if her mother would just, quote, get off her back, end quote, she would, of course, take the medication. It escalates into a huge argument discussing trust, and they go through every grievance they have between them. It's just a mess. So, Beth, you've taken care of patients like this. Do you have suggestions as how to approach this situation?
Well, one of the approaches that I take to this is to have Mary, or one of the approaches I would use would be to have Mary start to assume responsibility for her medicines by naming her medicines at every one of her clinic visits. I also ask her to tell me the doses of her medicines, times taken, and give me an explanation as to why she's taking her medicines. When I do this, I'm better able to assess what Mary knows. I'm also telling Mary that she needs to know what her medicines are and that she's responsible for taking her medicines. By asking her when she's taking her medicines, I'm able to assess if there's a need to simplify her medication schedule. Perhaps instead of taking her medicine three times a day, she should take it two times a day, and she could take all of her supplements at one time.
I agree, Beth. It's really important to establish Mary as the person who needs to, quote, own the medication regimen. Then once we've established that, I can brainstorm with Mary about ways she can remind herself rather than waiting for her mother to nag her. Sometimes I tell patients to use visual triggers. You know, put the medicine in a place she'll see every day, like the breakfast table, or put it by her toothbrush so she can take medicine in the morning and night when she brushes her teeth. The other thing I make use of is that young people are really good with technology, way better than I am. So I say to them, find high-tech ways to remind yourself. Set your cell phone alarm. Put an appointment in your electronic calendar. There are apps for everything. There are apps to remind yourself to take pills. And actually, I looked recently and found MedsLog, MedZ, DoseCast, MedReminder, MedTracker, PillBox, and this was just the first few ones I came up with. There's over 50 apps just for this.
Well, you know, these systems that you've mentioned also have the added benefit of allowing the parents to be reassured that Mary is taking her medicine without having to ask her constantly. This would help the adolescents or Mary develop increased independence. A physical pill box is really would be really helpful for this. The parents can help Mary fill the box. Then they can peek at the pill box each day if they want to make sure that she's taking her medicine, but they cannot talk to her or nag her about it. This allows them a way of stepping back, and also Mary should be encouraged to tell her mom every day or two that she is taking her medicine. She knows her mom wants to know, so she might as well, you know, say, Mom, I'm taking my medicines, and her mom will feel better, and Mary will feel empowered.
That's a great idea. But knowing Mary has taken each and every dose might lead to more arguments, unless we work to establish reasonable goals. Really, no one's perfect. So I ask, instead of saying, do you take every single dose? I ask them, how often do you miss your meds? Do you miss them once a week? Do you miss them 50% of the time? And then I reassure them that an occasional miss is not the end of the world, which is really helpful for parents to hear, but that missing tons of doses is not in their best interest. I tell them, meds only work from the inside. They really can't help you sitting in the pill box.
Well, this is also a great opportunity to discuss what happens if you miss too many doses. I know we've all had teenagers sit in our office and say, you know, I know somebody who isn't taking their medicine and they have been just fine. At this point, I try to explore in depth with Mary why she's taking her medicines, what happens if she stops taking her medicines, what her medicines are doing for her. It's also helpful to explore that there might be barriers that are keeping Mary from taking her medication. Lori, do you find that certain problems come up repeatedly?
Absolutely, Beth. We try to explore what's unique or most pressing for each teen, but I often run through some typical problems because they may just not have occurred to the teenager at that point. I tend to divide the barriers into a few categories. There's the logistic problems, the social problems, and the personal problems. Logistic problems occur when the teenager has gone out for the evening or sleeps overnight at a friend's house and they don't have their medicines with them and obviously can't take them. So we talk about ways that they can solve this problem. They could keep some essential medications in their backpack. If they say, I can't take the medication without food, maybe they can either take some food with them or we can look and see, do they really, really need to take medication with food? The social problems tend to be when patients say, you know, I wonder what my friends are taking. I wonder what my friends are thinking about my pills. You know, they wonder that I'm taking handfuls of pills. And so we rehearse what they should say to their friends, like, these keep me healthy so I can play soccer. Or, yeah, I take these so that I stay well. And then segue back into what they're doing right now with their friends. Then there are the personal barriers. A lot of patients will say, you know, I don't feel sick. And when I take my medication, it reminds me of my Crohn's. So just even exploring this and talking this out loud is very helpful. A colleague says to her patients, do the math. It takes you 5 minutes to take the medications, and that leaves you 23 hours and 55 minutes to feel healthy, and you want to be doing these things as opposed to being sick with your Crohn's. It's reasonable to acknowledge that it's tough to take medication when you don't feel sick, but we go through what a Crohn's flare would mean for them and the activities they would miss.
Well, thank you, Lori. I know we're running out of time, but I want to make sure that I have everything straight. I know that we've covered that it's important for patients to name their medications at their clinic visits and to understand why they're taking their medications. We've talked about some mechanisms like pill boxes and these great electronic pill box applications to help them remember to take their medicines. This helps them build independence and helps the parents manage some of their stresses. We've talked about why it's important that they have reasonable expectations. Not everybody is 100% perfect in taking their medicines. And we also talked about some of the barriers that can happen with taking medications. I want to thank you for helping me understand this better and for this really interesting talk.
Thank you, Beth.
Thanks for listening to this episode in the CME podcast series on improving the transition process for pediatric IBD patients. Go to pediidd.org to subscribe to receive future episodes. I'm Tony Otley.